Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we are going to talk about reimagining DLA Piper's website. Our guest today is Bill Barrett. Bill leads digital channel strategy and operations for DLA Piper in the Americas. And in his role, Bill helps the firm amplify the DLA Piper brand in the marketplace, generate demand for services, enhance the visibility of lawyers, and provide actionable insights that help generate profitable growth. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, thanks, Guy. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being on. I know how busy you are, so I really appreciate spending some time with me and our listeners. Bill, before we get started, I'd love if you could talk a little bit about your background, because you weren't always in the law firm industry. Talk a little bit about what you did before and, you know, how you ended up at DLA.
In a way, I have a very eclectic background, ranging from a graphic design background, some technology background. I've spent a number of years working at Deloitte, leading their digital marketing, digital communications group, and building their websites for them. Working with a global group of people there, it was a lot of fun. Also worked at a bank, did some work in financial services, moved on into the insurance risk and broking area. So it's professional services, but it's pretty much the gamut as far as that category goes.
I love it. What has surprised you, perhaps, or, you know, anything unique about the legal industry as opposed to the other professional services jobs that you've had? Anything that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, each one has its own nuance. I think the partnership aspect is similar to when I was in another role, but I have to say the number of leaders that you have to work with or should be working with is, I think, a little bit more critical at a law firm. There's a lot of folks that have a big stake, and it's not just a financial stake, but they have, you know, they have a voice and they want to be heard and they want to make sure that we're, you know, delivering on their goals. And probably more in a law firm from my experience now than any other place, I've kind of felt that really strong, you know, desire for folks to be heard and, you know, help drive things forward.
And that could be a good thing, and that could be challenging sometimes, I'm sure. So let's talk about the brand new DLA Piper's website. Actually, when did you launch the new site?
Yeah, we actually soft launched it on December 6th. And then, you know, obviously, every time you launch something, you got some things you need to tune up. So I say really it was meant for the new year, but we launched it a little bit early just to get it out the door and make sure that everything was operational during a relatively quieter time during the holidays.
Yeah, that's very smart. So what prompted the need for a new website? Why did you guys decide that you needed to redesign the site?
Well, technically, the legacy website was functioning just fine. You know, it operated, it did what it needed to do, except it was designed at a time when I guess user needs were a little bit different. So I'm not saying it's super old or anything. It's just that, you know, pre-pandemic, I think people looked to law firm websites in a different way than they did during and after the pandemic. We found this huge surge in digital, I think, as most organizations did. And you saw a lot of people kick in their digital transformations during the pandemic. For us, it was a matter of, you know, it needed a refresh. It didn't really necessarily align with the brand. And I mean the brand as far as a innovative, collaborative, client-centric kind of presence. It just didn't feel like it connected that way. It's more about us talking about ourselves. And I kind of feel like even post-pandemic, we've seen this ramp up of about users, you know, wanting experience that in the B2B world that actually mirror what they experience in the B2C world. So you think about good consumer experiences, why people come back. They get what they need quickly. It's easy to navigate. It's interesting to look at. All those things we wanted to make sure we incorporated in the new refreshed, reimagined version of the website.
I love it. Those are great ideas. So what were the goals for the new website and have you been able to achieve them?
Yeah, I mean, it really was, you know, one of the key ones I just mentioned was more of a client-centric experience, right? So having them be able to quickly achieve their goals, add some utility along the way. So if there was ways to kind of make it easier for people to navigate, it's not about like a stickiness as it might be sometimes. A lot of people think about if people don't spend a large amount of your time on your website that it's failing. It's not always true. If they're actually achieving their goals, they're finding that lawyer they need to contact and reaching out to them. They're downloading or reading a white paper on a topic that's important to them. Our goal was to just allow them to get what they needed and connect with us. And really, you know, that was one of our big goals. And we are starting to see that stuff coming to fruition, especially in the mobile space. Our previous website was not very mobile friendly. The new website was designed with mobile first in mind. It's, you know, obviously responsive, but there's a lot of changes that happen as it condenses down to a smaller footprint. And at the same time, it also gives you some links on people's bios where you can directly call them through your phone. You know, it's just little things that make it easier for people to kind of connect with us. So yeah, I think from that standpoint, we're starting to see that work. What I expect we'll have to do, continue to do, is look to evolve that experience and continue to, you know, understand what, how people are engaging with us. But we've seen our mobile traffic kind of really ramp up. So that was a big success. And then, you know, behind the scenes from an operational standpoint, what we wanted to do was have a website that was more flexible so we could evolve the front end experience more quickly along with to meet business needs. One of the complaints originally was that the old website was really static and hard coded. And if someone wanted to add some new functionality or a new component on the page, it just took forever. So building everything in a modular, I mean, some people describe it as like an atomic format where you have molecules and atoms, but essentially it's components on the page on templates that can be easily arranged. So it allows us to iterate quickly and not have to go develop something new every time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So one of the things that I have heard is when you try to approach things in a more client-centric way, sometimes there's a little bit of pushback from the lawyers in that, you know, lawyers want to make sure that all of their practice areas are included and they are their accolades and awards and things like that. You know, from your perspective, and you know, I don't know how you guys did this, how do you balance that need for client-centricity, which is obviously important from a website visitor perspective, with some of the, you know, needs of the lawyers, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I think like most law firms, at least from my research and experience over the last almost 2 years, have been around, you know, the lawyer bio. They have their individual place on the website. That's where we want people to talk about their personal experience. That's where we want people to showcase the thought leadership and insights that they've developed and are promoting in the marketplace. And that's where we kind of hope people will, you know, connect with them and reach out and contact them directly. And one way we were able to achieve that in a better way was to make this a much more uniform experience, give them a lot of flexibility. You can add awards, you can add, you know, certainly your thought leadership, and you can add video and other things to more personalize it for your own personal brand. But at the same time, we do it in a very templated manner. So it's pretty consistent around on the website, and it also makes it more search engine friendly that way if it's consistent. But, you know, beside that, it's the practices, the capabilities, the industries that we're involved in. We spend a lot of time showcasing content on those pages as well. And also, you know, we make it easy for people to connect with the right lawyers through there. So we're trying to thread them throughout the website, the web experience, so they can have their presence. But at the same time, it's also the DLA story. It's not just one lawyer or, you know, a couple key lawyers. We're really just trying to make sure that the end user who's looking for a certain type of help can find the right person quickly. And at the same time, we give the lawyer a chance to showcase themselves. And it's not just the website. We're connecting their website experience, their bios, to their LinkedIn if they want that as well. So we're trying to help build their personal brand along with the website experience for them.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good to Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. So what were some of the lessons learned from the website redesign effort that, you know, you think might be valuable for some of our listeners to know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a couple, and I'll start with the one that's a little bit more tactical, I guess, if you will. But having worked on several website projects in the past, a lot of big ones as well as this one, you know, often we go out and we find a really great design agency who can do an incredible job creating a beautiful front end. And then we kind of hand it off to a separate development team, and we find that some of that initial vision gets lost. You know, either it's because the coders didn't quite understand it, they didn't quite connect with the vision, or they couldn't deliver on what was designed. It might have been like overly ambitious by the design agency. So what we learned from this project, what I learned and what, you know, I think our organization, you know, was ready for was let's find one company, one agency that can kind of help us through the entire project. So I think that was incredibly helpful because the same organization that helped us with the strategy and the research and all the qualitative and quantitative research we did up front to help prepare for the project led us into design. And then from design, we were easily able to kind of move right over to development and have some of the same folks on the calls. So there was this nice continuity, you know, from the beginning of the project to the end. And then in our case, we also have the same folks managing the technology. So they're really comfortable with everything that's been designed because they knew they had to live with it at the end. So I think that was really helpful. And that was something that I found was the first time I've done it in a project where we've done end to end with one organization. And then the second piece was, which is really the benefit of that whole thing, is at the end of the day, you have this sort of, if there is a problem, and yeah, there's problems, everybody has little bumps in the road in the project, you kind of have one group to go back to. You don't have finger pointing. Yeah. You know, if you're going to one organization, they're not going to finger point to somebody in their own organization and say, well, our design team did a terrible job. No, you can't. You own the whole thing, buddy. You got to deliver it. So I think that was, you know, in a way, an unexpected benefit. And if our IT folks and our marketing leadership had to get on a phone call and express some discontent, they could do it to basically a small team of people who are the same people who were there all along. So that helps.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so you talked about, you know, things do happen, especially when you're undergoing a major redesign. What were some of the unexpected challenges you encountered during the project?
As you're really close to a project for, in our case, over a year, you're really like in the weeds. So anytime there's a bump in the road, you feel that bump. Maybe everybody else in the organization doesn't, but the core team does. And they're kind of always kind of like adjusting and having to kind of work their way through those little challenges. And sometimes they're bigger challenges. But the bumps in the roads for me were things that, in a way, I kind of thought we could have anticipated, but we didn't, which was, you know, content migration. I'm still challenged with finding a great method for content migration. Some people say you just like build a little bot and have everything kind of migrated over automatically and dropped into the new templates. That sounds great. But as you're developing your new website, you're also often changing your tone of voice. And in our case, trying to become more client-centric, the content didn't just fit right into the templates as smoothly as it, you know, you would have liked it to, right? So we spent a lot more time rewriting content around our brand tone of voice, around the new vision for the website, around what we expected, you know, clients wanted to hear or learn about. So there's just never enough time you can factor in for content migration, content development. It would have been nice to say, hey, we'll rewrite the website first, but then you're still going to have a disconnect when you have the design. So If you were a really super large company with unlimited budget, yeah, you could probably do all this stuff simultaneously in parallel, but that's not really realistic for a lot of firms.
Yeah, I find that to be the case as well. A lot of times firms don't really realize how much goes into updating all the content and as you said, making sure it meets up with the new templates that have been designed. So I find that to be a challenge that a lot of firms are facing. So what's next? You know, now you've launched a new website, obviously you continue to tweak it and improve it, but what do you guys focus on now that you have a brand new, you know, really visually engaging client-centric website?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say we're kind of in like what I would call phase two to some extent where, you know, we've got a much more expanded base for our website. We've got more countries on the website, with that more languages, a lot of the website. The country sites are just in English. We want to start working on local language versions of those sites because obviously that's client-centric, right? So we want to make sure we do that. Yeah. We have microsites that over the years were built as, you know, off-platform experiences because of frustrations with the main platform not being able to evolve it quick enough. So people went off and built WordPress sites and things like that. We've managed to bring back some of those through this process, but I think there's more that we can do. And of course, we want to look at what's valuable for, you know, for the future experience. You know, I'm not saying we're going to do anything in this space immediately yet, but this AI stuff that we keep hearing about, I kind of feel like there's going to be a place on the website soon for that. If not, some people are doing it already, but I kind of think that, you know, search as we know it may be a different thing in the future.
It is definitely changing, that's for sure. If I had a nickel every time someone asked me about the AI impact, I'd be a very wealthy man. What about personalization? What are you guys doing from that perspective? Other than the languages and the localization, are you guys thinking about or doing anything, you know, to personalize the experience?
Yeah, we've got some things in the pipeline that, you know, once we got over the main website build out that we're going to start experimenting with. Maybe not personalization down to the individual level because there are some privacy concerns and we are a global law firm, obviously, and have to deal with regulation in several countries. So privacy is still utmost concern for our organization. But maybe personalization at scale, you know, perhaps providing, if you're from a certain industry, providing you more upfront content that aligns with your industry. Like if you're in telecom, let's give you some more telecom information on the front end. If you are with a certain company, I'd like to do some more account-based marketing in the future if we can. I think that's an opportunity for us. And so personalizing at scale, I think, would be the way to go for us. I just don't think we're at a place where we can get, you know, Guy Alvarez, here's your special experience.
I hear you. All right, Bill. Well, you know, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're a busy guy, so we're going to let you go. But before I let you go, perhaps you would have a few words of advice for other law firms that are either considering doing a redesign or, you know, are on their way to a redesign. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because one of my hobbies is woodworking and I like to build things. I have a little wood shop in my house. And there's this term that you always hear in that world and in construction as well, measure twice, cut once. I kind of feel like in the website world, it's listen multiple times before you build. Yeah. And I think that was, you know, a key part of our project was all the upfront research, trying to understand what our clients, what our partners, what our lawyers need, and even what our marketers need. So making sure that we're addressing all those different groups. And in the case of like careers, what does talent need? It's all that upfront preparation, which makes all the difference in the world. So even if you said the first 3 months of my project is going to be listening mode, I think that's good. That's a good use of your time because you don't want to go build something just because you think it's cool or build it because some vendor said this is a hot new technology. You want to build it because it's going to add value. And I think that's really would be my advice anyhow.
That's great advice. 100% completely agree with that. All right. Well, Bill, thank you for your time today. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can just go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast and subscribe there. You can also check out some of our past episodes. And Bill, thank you again. We'll make sure to add a link to the new site as well as a link to your LinkedIn profile on the show notes. Thank you again, Bill. We wish you the best of luck, and you know, maybe we'll have you back in the future. Tell us how everything's going.
Yeah, thanks, guy. I'd love to be back. So maybe we can talk about something cool, like generative AI or something. Who knows? Thanks, guy.
I would love it. All right, Bill. Thank you very much. To our listeners,
all right, take care.
Great day.